Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 15. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come back, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." This is the text. Today we get to hear probably the most well-known parable in all of Scripture. The parable of the prodigal son. The first half of this story is one that even most pagans have heard. The prodigal son returning is applied to so many situations. ESPN loves to use this metaphor when an athlete changes teams and then returns to play on against the team that he once played for. If the Los Angeles Angels with Albert Pujols came back to play the Cardinals in St. Louis, I assure you some newspaper somewhere would have as their headline, "The Prodigal Son Returns." People know the story. At least they know the first half of the story. But the second half, the rest of the story, is often overlooked. In the first half of the story, the younger son tells his father, "I wish you were dead." And he demands his inheritance. It sounds unbelievable to think that a child could say this, or even think it. But that is essentially what he said. It seems unbelievable. Then the other day I saw an interview with Dave Mustaine, who is the lead singer of the heavy metal band Megadeth. Megadeth is the band with the bass player, who's Dave Ellefson, who's studying to be the LCMS pastor. Who, by the way, they're still in that process. I actually called and talked to somebody from the church in Arizona just to make sure that was still happening, but there was an interview with this fellow Dave Mustaine, who also now confesses to be a Christian. However, in the interview, he was asked what his childhood was like, and he very coldly said, "Well, it was all I could do to not kill my parents." And frightening when you think of that was his initial answer, and their first album was entitled "Killing Is My Business and Business Is Good." You know, what is it that goes through the minds of our youth? It truly is frightening. And lately, I've been trying to develop a more deep understanding of the heavy metal music culture. You don't realize how huge this is, and it is a culture unto itself. And about 20% of all record sales would be classified as heavy metal. And so much of the music is filled with this anger, and rage, violence. And that part of it gets all the headlines, especially when tragedy occurs. And people want to say, well, it's because of this music, you know, certain violence was acted out. But if you really listen to the words of the songs, you can understand the words to, there's a lot of despair and hopelessness. Hopelessness for the future. And hopelessness is a terrible and powerful message. Now, there are many who will tell you that this music is a catharsis and it keeps people from acting out in violence. It allows you to vent your emotion so you don't explode. I suppose it serves the same purpose as watching a movie like Beaches does to certain women that I know. Now I'm imagining a bunch of headbangers sitting around watching Beaches. Kind of makes me laugh. I understand the value of a catharsis. My investigation into, you know, heavier music is not purely for academic reasons. There are certain bands whose music I really do enjoy. I do appreciate it. I have certain, you know, heavier, even depressingly themed music that I have used as a catharsis in my life over the last 30 plus years of really listening to music. I get it. The challenge is to find music that does not abuse my ears with the verbal crutch of profanity. But it is out there. And if your kids tell you that they cannot find cool music that doesn't have profanity in it, they're either lying to you or they're not trying really hard. Because it is out there. And I don't listen to the heavy metal music where you can't understand the words and the vocals are simply another percussion instrument. But the heavier music I do find interesting and really enjoyable. It tends to have a common theme. It tends to understand the guilt of sin and the reality of the law. And you hear that in this music more so than you do in other styles. Now, I'm not promoting or advocating listening to heavy secular music. There are a lot of bands out there that mock God. They have names like Lamb of God, Testament. The lead singer for the band Exodus in an interview is talking about how he likes to write songs about killing people. The Norwegian black metal bands are notorious for being anti-Christian Satanists who are extremely hostile to the Lutheran Church in Norway and advocate even burning down churches. In all of the music in this genre, there is a struggle for the Christian to hear the gospel because it is not there. Not just in the Satan worship crowd, which in reality is pushed more by the record company as a promotional scheme than anything else, which speaks to the entire industry. However, we must remember that anything that does not honor God, in reality, honors Satan. And that we cannot forget. It is not benign. But you look at something like, well, the original heavy metal band, Black Sabbath, and you listen to their first two albums. I never really listened to any of their later stuff. And they play some, you know, scary sounding music, and that was their intent. But if you listen to their words, they understand the law. And the scary part of their music is that they play songs about being dragged into the pit of hell. Being overwhelmed by the fires of hell. Satan is not a hero in their songs. However, Jesus is not a hero either. There is no hero. There is no hope. There is no salvation. And where there is no hope, that is when real fear takes hold. There is nothing more frightening than to be completely without hope. Last week I said that we cannot be silent when those around us hold false views of God. Those who see no hope in Christ hold the ultimate false view of God. And the younger son in the parable was an ancient world headbanger who rebelled against his father, wished that he were dead, and packed his bags for Los Angeles, not to play baseball, but to hit the drug scene on Sunset Strip. This is a huge mission field. The heavy metal culture is much like the Gentile culture into which Paul led his mission work. That Gentile world was filled with tattooed, foul-mouthed pagans. And the Holy Spirit, through St. Paul, brought them to faith. So back to the story. The son takes his inheritance after telling his father that he wished he were dead and blows his inheritance faster than the average NBA player blows the money he makes during his career. I mean, the average player is bankrupt 5 years after his career ends. Our sinful nature has not improved over the years. It never will. Like the headbangers listening to Black Sabbath, the younger son feels like he is being dragged into hell with no hope. A Jewish man is tending pigs in a land where famine has struck. These pigs, of course, are an unclean animal to him. Touching them makes him unclean. He is so desperate and without hope, he would even eat the slop out of their trough. The law has brought him low. We all know how the first half of the story ends. His father has compassion on him, embraces him, kisses him. The father brings shame and humiliation upon himself. He ran to him, Luke tells us. Children and thieves run. Men of honor do not run. It would be humiliating for him to have to hike up his robe and run. He embraces this ceremonially unclean tender of pigs, who from a hygiene perspective was undoubtedly unclean also. And he covers him with his best robe, and he puts his signet ring on his finger as a sign that he is once again part of the family. This is how God works. In an act of compassion, God humiliates himself, hanging naked on a cross, takes away our uncleanness, washes it away in baptism, covers us in his robe of righteousness. That is a great first half of the story. I've always struggled personally with the second half of the story, with the rest of the story, because the other brother, the older brother, reminds me too much of me. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.